Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I was in stitches watching this when he's walking away from her at the dinner, and then he says, I don't know why, but I just like was crying when he's like, and I faked all my orgasms.
I think my favourite joke was the guy falls down at the baseball stadium at the end. The guy falls down a flight of stairs over the barriers onto the road. He gets driven over by a steamroller. And then a marching band goes over him. And it's like, this is perfect. And then she turns around and said, excuse me. She turned around and says, my father went the same way.
Hello, everyone. Joining Flicks Watcher today, we have Tatten.
Hello.
Diane.
Hi.
And as always, Kobe.
Hello.
And we're here today to talk about The Naked Gun. Thank you, as always, to the Mighty People for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher. Hello, film fans. Welcome to Flicks Watcher Podcast. Joining us remotely today, we have Tatten and Diane. If you could please say hello to our listeners and tell them a little bit more about who you are and what you do, please.
Hello, listeners. I'm Diane, and I work for Simple Politics, who you may know from our Instagram page. We write about what's going on in the world of politics, UK politics, and try and make it simple and understandable. And sometimes we do that, hopefully.
I think most of the times you do that. Would you say, Tatten?
I think that when Diane's in charge, we make things clear and simple and understandable. And when I'm in charge, people unfollow. But, you know, that's how it rolls.
What kind of feedback do you guys get from over the years? Is there anything that kind of sticks out to you as like, yes, we need to keep on making sure we're doing this?
Positive feedback comes in terms of follows and reputation and shares and that kind of thing. Mm. We do occasionally get the most wonderful emails from people who say, you know, you've really helped, blah, 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 blah. But kind of verbal feedback is almost always negative. Whereas if you do something good,
yeah,
you see followers coming on board, you see shares. I mean, gosh, I'm not going to kind of clang name drop, but the famouses that have shared our stuff over the last couple of years, it's been ludicrous. I mean, not the Queen, but basically the Queen.
Right. She's not on Instagram though. But if she did, she'd be sharing.
Yeah, she'd be all over it. And they don't, you know, they don't tag us in, because that's not how this lot seem to work. But like, I'll have a friend, I'll bump into a friend and go, oh my God, like Freddie Mercury just shared your stuff. And I'm like, really? Like, yeah, because I follow Freddie Mercury, right? And he was sharing it. And it's ludicrous, that kind of feedback. Is the positive stuff. But if we get something wrong, and that can
jump on you,
you know, typo or whatever.
Yeah. Do you think that people like
love
that?
A typo?
Oh, people God. Love a typo.
I am really bad at typing. I am really bad at typing. And they just like, so you just have to hold on to the slightly more nebulous feedback than the, and ignore the verbal in your face screaming.
Yeah. Do you think, are these people like hawks, or what are the birds of prey that are just kind of hovering there waiting for the typo mouse to scurry across the field, and then it
names.
Yeah. But it always feels good that they're reading this stuff. They're reading it. If they can spot mistakes, then they're reading it, and that's good.
True.
just the last thing on that, because it's interesting, is the amount of let's give them a chance you get is so small. It's they probably didn't mean. I mean, the way it's been written, it might mean that they, you know, don't like people, left-handed people, right? This could mean that they haven't thought about the left-handed community. It's like, or you could probably go, they hate them. Why do they hate them? Why are they so evil? And jump in and, you know, do their thing because people are looking for that mistake, not just from us, from anywhere. They're looking to show how much they care about the left-handed community by jumping up. They're just scouring the world for anyone who suggests that right-handed or ambidextrous people are better. And then leaping
I like the way you're using left-handed to indicate intolerance in a way that's more accessible without calling out underrepresented people. I like it. But we're here talking about films today, not politics or left-handed people. Well, we're talking
maybe a bit of politics.
Well, there is there's a mayor in this, and there's the Queen.
Big fan.
We're talking about The Naked Gun, which is your choice, Tatton. First of all, can you tell us why you chose it? And then I'll get the timer up, which is your chance to give us a synopsis in 60 seconds or less.
I chose The Naked Gun because I spent quite a lot of my time looking at very serious things, especially for the last few years, 3 years, 4 years, five, the whole of the last 41 years of my life, staring down the barrel of misery. And so I thought it'd be nice to come on here and chat to you about something that's just a bit silly and just a bit fun.
And synopsis?
Right, 60 seconds. 58? Come on!
Started.
So it's a very convoluted plot. So it'd be really hard to do this. A crime's been committed by a bad guy. And this hard-balled detective has to stop him. And in the middle of this, he's then being given the duty to protect the Queen on her visit to Los Angeles. And he does it.
Fine. That's fine. Diane, Helen, thoughts on The Naked Gun?
Okay. So it's one of those films that you think, oh, this is really daft. Yeah. You know. But then you find yourself literally laughing, totally laughing out loud, laughing at stuff that you thought you were way too mature for. The physical comedy I found hilarious. The questions it left me with were, oh my God, they couldn't make this now, could they? And they, you know, if they went to make The Naked Gun now in 2022, I just think, it would never get done. So that was like my big overarching thing. All of the scenes from the first one with the world leaders, oh my goodness, you just think, you'd never get away with that anymore.
Like scrubbing Gorbachev's...
God.
Stain off his head, no.
Yeah.
No.
And then I just kept thinking about how much of it my kids would love, but I can't show them it yet because it's too naughty on the hall.
Well, how old are your kids? Because
only 8 and 7, so
that's the perfect age.
Do you reckon?
What year did this come out?
There's very little that rude in this movie.
I bet they would understand as well.
There would be questions.
I remember watching it the first time and it's like, what's going on with this safe sex massive plastic bag thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was the funniest thing when I was about 10. I obviously didn't understand why, but like rewatching it again, I had that flashback of being very young and just finding it the funniest thing ever. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in it, but that scene in particular was really
funny.
That's
the worst. I think on the watching it this week, it's the worst scene in the whole film. The two of them rubbing, like dressed in condoms, but absolutely. When I first saw it, same age as you, like hilarious. No idea why. Hilarious.
I think there's a lot. It's interesting when you watch something the first time, and as you get, I don't know, must be 30 years later, and you're still watching and laughing, but laughing in different places. For example, and this is what Diane was saying, like you can do this in the same way without being having scorn poured upon you. But the nice beaver scene, for example, I again no idea what that meant. And I didn't find it that funny. And then there's an age where I was like 20, like 18 to 25, when it's the funniest thing ever. And now I'm like, that's a bit cheap, isn't it? And so,
do you know what? I want to talk about the nice beaver line, because it kind of comes to the heart of what makes this film great, which is the fact that Leslie Nielsen is entirely straight faced the entire film.
Yeah.
He doesn't make a joke, not a single joke. And so he's looking. He's looking very seriously up, like not in a lecherous way, not in any way sleazy. Like nice beaver. And then she passes it down.
He is like a child, and I think that's probably why when we watched it, probably a bit too young, but when we were a lot younger, that we were him, like we didn't know what it meant, but there was the beaver. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, I get that joke now. That's why it's funny. But also there is beaver. So it just works on so many levels.
Two levels.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of the not being able to do this now is that I think the guys who did Scary Movie, as much as I love the Wayans brothers in other iterations, I think they kind of ruined the spoof thing, because when you're doing a spoof like Naked Gun or Hot Shots, I mean, well, I know there's other people did it outside of just Zucker, but those guys made the spoof kind of timeless, whereas the Scary Movie guys had to make it comments on pop culture, and it was only relevant or slightly funny if you watched TV or film in the past 6 months before watching the film, and then 3 years later it's not funny. So I think, I don't know if they've kind of killed the idea of a spoof in this kind of way.
I was just going to say, you keep saying you wouldn't be able to make this. Apparently, 2013, there were talks of it happening. And again, 2021, apparently Liam Neeson may be in line for a reboot. So,
I mean, I say no now, but Nielsen was a standard, quote-unquote, actor, isn't he? So does it have to be someone with the initials LN? Maybe there's other people.
That's the rules. that's unlikely to have O.J. Simpson returning, isn't it, really? I think that's like one of the weirdest things when you watch it, because like you know he's in it, like you know he's coming up, and then he comes on the screen and you're like, O.J. Simpson, man, times are different.
But I was amazed.
But he's really funny as well, like his comedic time is really funny.
He's hardly in it, because I must admit, I chose this one kind of with all of them kind of mixed up in my head. And then looking forward to O.J. Simpson because of all that, kind of, and also because I've kind of got into watching classic NFL games, because anything to escape the misery of today. And like, yeah, the juice was a hell of a player. He was a hell of a player, right? And you can't underestimate his celebrity, because he was only famous for being a murderer, right? Whereas in America, he was David Beckham-esque, right? That's how it got to be in the thing. But he's not in it. Like he has this amazing scene at the beginning, right? It's beautiful statistic scene.
That had my wife in stitches when he tries to break down the door and his leg goes through. Just literally fell in half.
And he's got his gun, and everyone's got the guns, and it's fantastic. But then he's not in it again. Obviously, in 2 and then 33 and a third, he's kind of
a bit more.
He's equal with Leslie Nielsen. So I'm surprised by that. But also, on whether it could be done today, I think Deadpool really challenges the spoof movie now. If a Marvel-sanctioned movie, and actually all the Marvel movies, and in fact Star Wars now, the problem with the last three Star Wars is that they're kind of spoofs of themselves. You know, even Han Solo is making self-deprecating jokes. It's like, well, no, that's not what he does. But when everyone is so self-aware and in on the joke, it's really hard to successfully spoof it.
Yeah, I think I was thinking about who else has made good spoof films. I think when you said Star Wars, it reminded me of Mel Brooks in Spaceballs.
Oh, what a film.
He's a decent spoofer. But I think now it's kind of leans into satire. And one of your potential choices, Tatum, was Death of Stalin. Yeah. And that's it's not spoof, but it's close. It's very close in some places where you just kind of think that's very close to the bone. Hardcore satire, I'd say, in that case. And some cases like with Veep as well, for example, and The Thick of It, you know, that's where I think a lot of the comedy has kind of gone into in that kind of, not just political.
Physical, more kind of cerebral
in
that sense.
Because a lot of it is nonsense. I rewatched The Thick of It spin-off. I can't remember what it's called, the film with James Gandolfini.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of it is pure, utter nonsense. And same with Veep as well. It's pure nonsense. But because it's set against this backdrop of politics and is satire, you don't have the crazy prank falls and stuff like that, but it's still, Anyway, we're going off the topic with this film. It's very funny, isn't it?
Are there, I can't think of anything off my head, physical comedies out in the cinemas at the moment? Is there anything that slapstick?
I think there might be some things in Deadpool, now you say it, or there's commentary on it, but...
I mean, the last, like, person to really do it was probably Jackie Chan.
He
tended to do the kind of, like, physical comedy mixed in with...
Martial arts.
Rush
Hour.
Shanghai Nights, Shanghai Noon films, which I quite enjoyed, which obviously kind of had a little bit of that humour in there as well. I don't know. I think it kind of get done to death with...
Scary Movie.
Well, no, more
and of... Not another teen movie. Or whatever
the kind of like the physical kind of slapsticky stuff. I think it had a revival and then disappeared.
Do you guys have a favourite gag from this?
There's so many. Lots of the one-liners are just brilliant, like rather than the big set pieces. I do like the scene where they're in the car with the girl on her driving lesson. And, you know, when she's getting some abuse off another driver and he's telling her a manoeuvre and he's like... open your arm, lift your middle finger. That's to give the middle finger to the guy that's coming up beside her in the big lorry. I do like that. But, you know, it's more the one-liners. You're right. It's the deadpan. It's Leslie Nielsen's delivery. And there's another... I was in stitches watching this when he's walking away from her at the dinner and he's just saying loads of random stuff. And then he says, I don't know why, but I just, like, was crying when he's like, and I faked all my orgasms. And I just, like, between stitches. And that, it's just him, you know, it's him. And I don't know. It plays a bit to his age, this role as well. Like, some of the physical comedy is so funny, like the handstands and the cartwheels and stuff, because he's the older guy, you know, and yeah. It's great.
I love the cartwheels and when it goes into the flat and he realises someone's in there and he's doing cartwheels and somersaults and stuff and it's just so clearly not him, but it doesn't matter in any way, shape, or form.
But the gravitas he brings to that role by just being of a certain age, and again, it's hard to see today, the lead actor of this movie, maybe Liam Neeson, but it's kind of in tribute to this, where the lead actor is an older man. And just believes in himself and believes in the seriousness of his job. Like, that makes all of it possible. None of it's possible if they come in going, why I gotta make a laugh. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's got to be that seriousness. But my favorite joke was, there's a couple. I mean, I love it when he walks in to the house and he can't disturb anything. Will be found out, and then the document he wants is underneath the House of Cards. Brilliant. And it was only, I mean, like so many of these things, it's a film, such obvious gags, but it also just, like that was only there for like a second, and then it moved on, it didn't come back to it, it was just kind of done. It's obviously not subtle. Like, it's not, like, no one's going to pretend it's subtle, but it's as close as fast and slapstick can go to being subtle as it can be. And I think my favourite joke was the guy falls down at the baseball stadium at the end. The guy falls down a flight of stairs over the barriers onto the road. He gets driven over by a steamroller. And then a marching band goes over him. And it's like, this is perfect. And then she turns around and said... Excuse me. She turned around and says, my father went the same way. Just such a wonderful line.
Helen?
I've got two. It's good we've all picked different ones. This is just how rich the comedy flows. Yeah. So I really like the scene where he goes to see the guy on the docks and he asks him if it would refresh his memory, and they keep switching back the money. I don't know about that. Well, how about this? Well, this, that's quite funny. But then the a real standout one is when he succeeds in saving the queen, and the guy in the baseball stand goes, "It's Enrico Palazzo," which is very clever because it's a callback. So callbacks are good, and we love a callback.
You can say that to anyone, and
they'll know what
just out of context, and they'll know exactly what you're talking about. And I think for me, I'm going to pick a couple, and they're all and they're both ones which I enjoyed as a kid massively, and also enjoy now. One is when he comes off the plane after squeaking the stain off Gorbachev's head, and he starts talking to the crowd, and they're not here for you, they're here for Weird Al Yankovic on the plane. And I used to love that because Weird Al was a hero. But my all-time favourite is still when Norberg's there and he's in a wheelchair at the end of the film, gives him a slap in the back, and he just careens down the stairs, hits the stand and flies up as a clear dummy. And that, as a kid, had me... And I probably rewound that so many times as a kid, and it still has been absolute stitches. I love a fantastic fake dummy. I love a fake dummy person used. It's like chef's kiss. That's brilliant. But yeah, I think I faked my orgasms is a great line.
And the things that Norberg goes through at the start,
in the hospital.
The two that I noted was the... bear trap and the cake. So not only is it all like kind of the funny stuff, but yeah, when he gets his like in the cake, it's quite funny, and the bear trap is beautiful.
Anything you guys want to say before we head to the scores? All right, let's do it. Let's go to the scores.
I'm Sam Clements, host of the 90 Minutes or Less Film Festival, another podcast in the Stripped Media family, a podcast that celebrates movies under 90 minutes long. Each episode, I'm joined by a special guest who selects a movie to join our prestigious lineup. Past guests have included fellow Stripped Media family members Martin and Sam from Song by Song, and Kobe from FlixWatcher, and Dave from The Wire Stripped. Search for us now on the app you're currently listening to this podcast, or join us at 90minfilmfest.com.
Welcome to the FlixWatcher scores. All of the scores are out of 5. You may have decimal places if you wish, and we will start with you, please, Tatton, with your recommendability.
Oh, it's just a solid 5. It's not a long film. It's a fun film. It brings joy. It's not been easy. Few weeks, months, and it just made me laugh and made me very happy for 90 minutes. 5.
Diane?
Yeah, it would be a 5. A 5 with a caveat of there's probably like one or two people in the world that I know that wouldn't enjoy this. I'll probably defriend them, but yes, a 5 otherwise.
Helen?
It's very funny. I would love to watch it with someone for the first time to see how they'd react to it, because I think for me, a lot of it was a nostalgia watch and muscle memory quite a lot of the time. It's not quite a 5, a very strong 4.5, but I think if you've never seen this before, I'm not sure, I don't know, it would probably blow their mind, or they just wouldn't get it. I really don't know. It's one of those. It's a strong 4.5.
I'm going to go for 4.5, so that's for you. I'm going to go 4.75 because I have a similar kind of thing. I don't know. There's a film called Top Secret, which is by the same guys, and lots of people said it's their funniest film ever, and I hadn't heard about it. And then I watched it when I was like 35, and I was like, why is this good? Sorry. And I don't know if it is a proper nostalgia thing watching it for the first time in simpler times, because I know it's not just a youth thing. I think in the 80s, there was just less stuff going around, and this is more easy to go around. I would love to see this with, like you say, with Helen, someone who's never seen it before, and see what they just be. I'll just be watching them.
Yeah.
Laugh. Is it not funny to you? I'd be really interested. So, yeah, I take it down slightly, but I think generally yeah, if you haven't watched it, go watch it. Repeat viewing score, Tatton.
Well, I'm going to, my next job is to go rewatch 2 and 33 1/3 because I'm really interested to see what happens. I suspect there won't be as good on repeat view. I suspect that it goes more into more them fooling around rather than the straight faced stuff. I feel like they might not be as nice towards women.
There's an unfortunate incident with Anne Nicole Smith, I remember one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not expecting to watch them as much, but I mean, I will watch this again without a shadow of doubt. 4.
Diane?
I think I'm going to go only a 3 on this. I wouldn't seek it out. Happily watch it if it's on, or happily watch it if someone else puts it on. But I wouldn't reach for it necessarily unless I really wanted to cheer myself up.
Helen?
So I'm trying to think now, which one is it? It's the Naked Gun ones that spoof Ghosts. That must be in the second or the third one. I can't remember which one it is.
I think it's the second one.
Yeah.
When they're together.
I wish I could remember what happened more. I'm going to have to watch the 2 and 33 1/3. I'm going to give it a solid 4 for rewatch, just purely for the amount of times that I would have watched it as a young person. And this, it's funny, it's less than 90 minutes. It's not even 90 minutes.
Yeah,
like your commute's less than that sometimes.
Got a horrible commute.
Yeah. Commute's more than that.
I'm going to go for 5. I think like Diane said, I can't think of a time I'm going to watch it, but also I know it's inevitable. I am going to watch it more than a dozen times. You know, I will watch it.
You've got to introduce Milo to it at some point.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Would I start with that, or would I start with Airplane? And I was also thinking when Tatton's talking about the other Naked Guns, I really haven't watched Hot Shots for a long time.
We've done Hot Shots recently. I've watched it with my 2 boys and they loved it. They absolutely loved it. So it is, yeah.
Bodes well if it's a hit with young boys. That's the kind of marker for these films. If like young boys find them hilarious, then it's going to be good.
It's good.
Hot Shots and Airplane, yeah. I think.
Oh, I mean, Airplane's amazing.
Yeah. Airplane is the best. It's still the best, but it's still, you know, Naked Gun is up there. Small screen score, Tatton.
I mean, it's a 5. Like it's the perfect. Like there's no apart from a couple of silo breasts. like there's no reason to not watch it on your smartphone. Let's say, I mean, I my commute, Helen, is I work from home, so it's very brief indeed. But I do sometimes come home from London, having had a drink. And I would definitely watch this on my smartphone at that time.
Diane?
Yeah, I think it works. So I'll just go 4.5 because I think this would be very funny in a shared cinema environment. So 4.5 for watching it on your own.
Helen?
Yeah, I'm with you on the shared watching. Even just with one other person is quite fun. And you'll probably find that you're laughing at each other, laughing at the silliest things. So you just need one extra person all on your own. It's fine, right? Or your cat or your dog. Depends, you know, if you're living on your own. I'm going to give it a 5. I only ever watched it on small screen. And it's just fun. It's just nice having access to it on Netflix and you can just cheer yourself up anytime you need to.
I'm going to go 4.75 again. I think I'd love to watch this at the Prince Charles Cinema with a crowd that knows it. I think that'd be a great way to spend night.
What about a triple bill? Would that be something you'd go
in
for?
If the triple bill was Airplane, this, Hot Shots, I would absolutely love that. I don't think I'm not sure I'd do a triple bill. I'm pretty sure I saw 33 1/3 in the cinema actually. I didn't see this in the cinema, but
God, but old.
One of the first things I went to on my own without my parents
was what? Sorry, this?
No, the 33 1/3.
Oh, okay.
Trainspotting was one of the first I remember going to.
Wow! You know,
intrepidly stealing my way in. This is a very different film to Trainspotting.
Yeah. Well, the first I saw without my parents was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. And I remember saying to my dad, can we go and watch it? And he was kind of like, I think you're old enough now in a way that I don't want to watch this with you. So,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I think I got dropped off for one of the Home Alones. Not sure which one.
Yes.
And that was probably the first time I went in just me and my friends.
Engagement score, Tatton.
Well, the way engagement score is defined on the email that you sent is how difficult would it be for you to turn the film off once you started watching it? And on those terms, it's quite a low engagement score. I would easily switch this off because I don't care what happens next. I'm just enjoying the laugh, right? So if the Prime Minister resigns, it's coming off. Like, if something happens, it's coming off. I'm picking it up again later, right? So I'm going to give it quite a low score. And like, all of this chat is me trying to justify giving a film that I absolutely love quite a low score. And I think what's at fault here is your metric, not the film. And I want to be clear on that, on FlixWatch here. This is on FlixWatch here, not on the film. And it's not my fault either. So, two.
You could elaborate it. We like to explain it as also how easy is it to turn you away from the phone. You know, are you on Twitter at the same time? Can you be on Twitter at the same time as this? Diane?
Yes, you can. This is so much like, a stand-up routine. Lots of mini jokes, little scenes, that it's quite easy, I think, to turn away, go and make a cup of tea, come back 5 minutes later, and you can just go with it and catch up with the rest of the film. So, I'd say a three. Okay.
Okay. Helen.
I was going to say, many have tried to fight the FlixWatcher scores, but they are what they are. They've ruined some classic films for having a low small screen, despite being some of the best films in the world, to be beaten by lesser great films. Yeah, it's one of those that you can have on and basically you could skip a bit, or you could come in from the pub if you still go to the pub in these times and walk in halfway through and still enjoy it without having to watch from the start. But that said, there are like lots of visual stuff. So if you're only listening, you do want to be watching because there's quite a lot of small visual gags here and there. But a 3.5, I think for the amount of times I've seen it, I don't need to be 100% glued to it.
I was quite surprised on the high side. I'm going to go for 4.5 here. I think to get the most out of it, you want to be like tuned in, because the visual gags, you can't just listen in. There's lots of stuff going on in the background. And because they are playing it straight, ostensibly, they just go, you wouldn't notice them if you just kind of second screening, I don't think. That gives us an overall score of 4.21875. That's about where I thought it was going to be. Yeah, awesome. So yeah, guys, do follow us, whoever's listening on Twitter. We are at FlixWatcherPod. And the reason to follow us is because we put out a tweet before we record and you can interact with us using these tweets. We put a tweet out like this. We're reviewing The Naked Gun with Tatton and Diane from Easy Politics UK, aka at Simple Politics on Instagram. Have you seen it? Tell us your thoughts and a score out of 5 stars for an on-air shout out on FlixWatcher. And as I thought, we got quite a big response from this one. Tatton, you want to pick one you like?
Well, it's one I'd like to run by you three. So Alex Elliott has said, it's a bit dated now, but 80% of the jokes still hit. I love it. 4 stars. I'm really interested to know what you think about how dated it is.
I think one of the reasons I talked about the scary movie films and the Wayans but the spoofs is because I think it's still a lot of it really hits. So it's at least 80%, as Alex Elliott says. I think some of the gags, like the squeezing the lady's breasts when he's on the window, I don't think that would happen now. But apart from that, I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was, I thought it still rang true.
I think the opening scene, I think someone would struggle to name all of those political leaders these days. Like, I think that dates it.
Didn't they say their names?
Oh, well, yeah, the first one when he's in Beirut with the leaders, I think that is a very specific comedy moment when that was kind of like a joke. I don't think you'd be able to do that now with kind of world leaders.
You wouldn't have Putin there, would you, doing something?
No, but does that, if you knew who the world leaders were in that scene, then I don't think it's dated. Although you couldn't do it now. I think what is dated and is clearly wouldn't be today, we wouldn't want it today, is the when the police squad, see the credit sequence, when the when the Blues and Twos, the car's driving through the road and the pavement, then suddenly it's, oh, look, we're in a girl's changing room. That jarred. I thought today, I mean, alongside the groping the woman at the window, like, of all the comedy places you could have chosen, you've chosen to be somewhere you could put semi-naked women for literally no reason whatsoever.
It's an 80s trope, isn't it? It's just a casual homophobia, casual sexism, casual racism is almost par for the course from 80s comedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe 80% of the joke still hits. Yeah. Works. Alex Elliott, on the nose.
Okay. Diane.
Okay, this is my favourite one from Lee Thomas. So he describes it as crass, juvenile, lowest common denominator comedy, and then says, I love it. And then he gives it 5 giant prophylactics out of 5. So we did talk about the safe sex scene. And there you go.
He's also used the, hey, it's Enrico Palazzo gif as well. So yes, thank you for using that.
Star
one.
Twitter contributor.
By the way, isn't there a continued gag in the credits where it lists all the people that just have the one lines like, hey, it's Enrico Palazzo? But with the way that Netflix isn't super fucking annoying and tries to force you into the next film straight away, I was like, is it this film or is it a different film? And then it did that and I was like, I couldn't work out how to get it back without running through the whole film again. So I just didn't do it. But yeah, that's one of the gags that they do in some of the films, isn't it? List like one-liners from the credits, in the credits. So this guy would have a name in the credit when typically he wouldn't in any other film.
That's so great. I remember Charlie Brooker did a rant about how, talking about the BBC rather than anyone else, it kind of cuts when you're just thanking people for helping out with the TV show and then it cuts, they get hardly any money, but they get their name on the telly and it cuts to being like the next show coming up and it moves the whole thing and so no one can see it anymore. I quite like watching credits. Right. It's quite nice to see all the people that worked on it. Well done, Lee.
Helen.
This one is from Stephen Lockeridge. Absolute classic. Possibly the funniest film of all time. The jokes, sight gags, and slapstick just don't stop coming. And he's done 5 laughing face emojis with tears coming out of their eyes.
Tatton.
Then we've got Steve EILFM podcast. 5 stars, one of the greatest comedy movies ever made. I enjoy the sequels as well, but this one is a laugh riot. With a laughy cry face, but it's also about riots. And riots aren't cool, kids.
One more, Diane, that I can see at least.
Yeah, let's have a look. Okay, so we've got Scheitgeist again saying, Leslie Nielsen and the Zucker brothers combine zeitgags, pratfalls, and wordplay like nobody else. Not quite Airplane, but still great, silly fun.
I don't think anything else will ever be Airplane. That's a certainty. That's a certainty in life. Taxes and Airplane. No one else will beat Airplane.
Is Airplane on Netflix?
It has been.
It has been. It's not at the moment, I don't think.
You've got a hankering for Airplane now, haven't you?
That's a petition in the morning.
It must be like on ITV3 or something, or one of those channels.
How dare you say that kind of thing about a good film? What a terrible
aspersion.
It's good
because it's on all the time, because it's just there and any time you need it on rotation.
You can lean into Airplay. Diane Tatton, thank you very much for joining us. Can you say where we can find you online and say goodbye to the listeners?
Yes, you can find Simple Politics at Simple Politics on Instagram. It'd be great if you could give us a follow and have a look at what we do. And we do a regular podcast as well, if you'd like to listen.
The host of our podcast is nearly as good as the host of this podcast.
Nearly.
In fact, better, because it's recorded earlier in the morning when he is slightly more awake. And just generally better than he is now.
Kobe's 100% all of the time.
I'm not sure that's the case. Got my leg in a knee brace at the moment. Anyway, thank you very much, guys, for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for bringing Naked Gun to us and the listeners.
Thanks so much
for coming.
Ciao.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast, why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K, Wood Audio. Tell him FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.